shut up, you listen to my monkey mouth. As a companion when you got pun on the canoe route. Hopped in a portal and got in a fight. Elias knocked him out. Bow. Naruto fighting style. Bow. UFC, he tapped out. Bow. We win, we get crowned. Monkey mouth. Monkey mouth. Monkey mouth. Monkey mouth.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to the Konoha Companion. This is Joshua, as always. This is going to be our 48th iteration of the podcast, and on this episode, we're going to be going over episode 47 of Naruto, entitled A Failure Stands Tall. But I do want to take a moment to kind of address why it's been so long since there's been any content. I've been having a wild go of things. I've been a business owner for a very long time now, and you know, man, to sum some things up, my bank account got shut down by bureaucrats for like almost 90 days, and then after that my warehouse got destroyed by a tornado, and then after that my makeshift facility at my brother's house got destroyed by a fire. And so over the course of like 8 months, man, I got like 1-2-3'd, and then my business partner Elias, who was doing the podcast stuff with me, I think I got like 3 or 4 episodes of this out actually in the studio, wound up leaving, and it was a lot to try and keep up with everything on that frontier. And just between my money being sideways with losing everything with my businesses through the natural disasters and the bureaucracy, and losing my business partner and losing the financial support of them on the Monkey Mouse side of things, it was just too much, man. And so I had to kind of take a step back, and you see, I've got everything. So this is my house, and this is my bed, my dog sitting right here, Nurgle, Neji, my dog Neji. He's named after Neji. He's got a little collar that's got a, he's an official like little hidden leaf ninja, man. He's got the collar and everything. It's really dope. But maybe he'll get in camera in a second, but he's relaxing. It's rare that he's actually relaxing, so I'm gonna let that continue. But either way, the point is that I've more or less settled into a situation where I'm comfortable and consistent. You know, I went and got a little job, so my money is consistent at this point, and I put the studio in my house, so there's no ifs, ands, or buts about bills being paid there. And so, you know, and now I'm also not going to be able to do my Once Who Woke Up podcast as often, because it was with guests, and I'm not trying to bring people over here, you know what I'm saying? It's my house, my cribbo, my 2-year-old's here and shit, you know what I'm saying? So, I'll probably wind up renting some space and doing that, you know, like on a per episode basis or something. I don't know. At the end of the day, man, it's not going to be my space anymore. It's going to be kind of a bummer, but we'll see. We're either going to suspend production on the Once Who Woke Up, or we're going to do it in a kind of limited capacity, not near as often, and in a studio space that we rent on a per visit basis until I get things settled on my end a little bit more effectively. But either way, guys, I'm sorry that I've been away for so long. It's been, you know, 5-6 months, and thank you all for y'all's patience and for sticking with me through these you know, weird times. But that's enough of the sentimental shit, guys. Let's talk about some anime. Y'all are here to, you know, follow along with the podcast, with the show, right? You watch the show, and then you come back and you listen to the podcast, and it keeps you oriented properly, right? If you're watching the show for the first time, it's your first introduction in anime, it might be a little much for you to keep up with. So I'm here to kind of hold your hand and make sure that you're thinking about things the way you need to be thinking about things as you go. You know, I'm going to be your companion through Konoha. You guys already know. St. Charles First Rodeo. This episode 48 shit. But on the previous episode, just to kind of get us all caught up to where things are, it's the Chunin exams. Naruto and Kiba are fighting, and Naruto hits Kiba with the Uzumaki Barrage, which is effectively his spin off of the Lion's Barrage, which is a move that Sasuke did, which was Sasuke's spin off of the Primary Lotus, which is a move that Rock Lee does, and Sasuke was able to copy Rock Lee with the Sharingan, and Naruto's just a fucking beast, evidently. Naruto heals super quickly because of the Nine Tails energy in him, right? He's clearly got a healing factor at this point. He healed up pretty quickly. I think even Kakashi kind of noticed it. It's not because of that ointment that Hinata gave him. Which, you know, Hinata tried to give ointment to Kiba, who warns her to withdraw if she winds up having to fight Gaara or Neji. And, of course, it's Neji, right? Neji's her cousin. And, you know, there's this big fucking main branch, side branch, inter-family quarrel thing going on, and they square up. And it reveals, you know, this is like the moment when they reveal their family. Neji tries to convince Hinata to withdraw, saying she's too kind and gentle and, like, seeks harmony and avoids conflict. Easily swayed by others, no confidence, she feels like she's lesser than everybody. She should have just stayed a Genin, only here for her teammates' sake. I mean, homie goes in on just trying to, like, shit on her to make her quit without having to actually beat her ass. So they explain the Hyuga family clan tree concept, right? Hinata is a member of the elite main house, whereas Neji's a member of the lesser side branch, and he's clearly, like, resentful towards her for this. Hinata is revealed via a Kurenai flashback to be a disappointment to her father, who chooses to invest in her younger sister Hinabi to train her to be the head of the house because she was viewed as superior to Hinata in spite of being 5 years younger than her. And, you know, I mean, they show that Hinata and Hinabi were fighting and Hinabi beating Hinata's ass, right? Hinabi's kind of a really, really exceptional martial artist at this point. So, at least from what you can tell at this point. So, you know, she's been basically kicked to the curb and they're rolling with Hinabi now. So, it's a run the family. Neji locks his Byakugan in on Hinata and sees everything. Dude's basically, like, living in her brain. He keeps breaking her down mentally when finally Naruto interrupts from the stands and inspires Hinata to stand up for herself. She locks her Byakugan onto Neji and they start to fight, and they both use what's called the gentle fist technique. It's an open palm chakra infused martial art, and even they go on to explain that even the toughest ninja are vulnerable to this stuff, right? It ultimately affects their opponent's chakra network. They can disrupt the flow of chakra, right? And it's like messing up your blood flow, right? It's a bad deal whenever it all starts getting messed up. And everybody's trying to channel chakra to do their jutsu and shit like that. So if you can't channel your chakra because your chakra isn't flowing right, you can't do your jutsu. And so now you're stuck in, like, an actual martial arts fight with fucking one of these fuckers who are using the gentle fist and are gonna beat your ass up and down the street. So good luck at that point, right? Kakashi explains that they can hit the chakra network, which is invisible to the naked eye because of their Byakugan, which allows them to see it and target it. I believe at this point he also even admits that he can't see the chakra network with his Byakugan. Or no, excuse me. Kakashi even admits that he can't see the chakra network with his Sharingan, right? The Sharingan is the special eyes of the Uchiha clan, and somehow Kakashi, who's a Hatake, has it right now. And then the Byakugan is the Hyuga special eyes, and we're seeing the differences in them, right? They both kind of have their own drawbacks and their own strengths and their own weaknesses, right? And the Sharingan can't see chakra networks, whereas the Byakugan can. Neji and Hinata appear to hit each other simultaneously, and the episode ends, right? And that takes us to the start of this episode, where Neji is just bullying Hinata, and Naruto yells and motivates Hinata, and Hinata's inspired because Naruto believes in her. Neji busts out his Byakugan and goes on the attack with the gentle fist. Hinata and Neji both load up to hit each other, and the title slide comes in, and Naruto reads, "A failure stands tall." The fighting stops, and they stand still, and it's revealed that Neji actually landed the strike in the exchange, which, obviously, Neji's like the genius. Hinata's getting kicked to the curb for her younger sister, Hinabi, and so if they're both going in for a strike at the same time, I think it's fair to assume that Neji would be the one who's going to nail that, just based on what we've seen so far. And that's what we're seeing here. Neji mocks her about this being all the main branch has to offer. And he kind of goes off on a tirade about some main branch, side branch, Hyuga clan silliness. But my thing is that this isn't all the main branch has to offer, right? She has a sister who's 5 years her younger who's already more capable than her. And so, no, this isn't all they have to offer. This is just all you're being offered currently within the context of the Chunin exams. But, you know, it seems like Neji's kind of a little clouded by his just kind of delusional disdain for the main branch at this point. Hinata forces herself to knock Neji's hand away and strike at him, but Neji blocks it and hits her chakra point in her arm.
Monkey mouth. Monkey mouth. Monkey mouth. Monkey mouth.